If you would have told me that, like, I could go a month without French fries,
Girl,
I
preach.
would have called you a liar.
That's the
You know what
testimony
I
right
mean?
there. This is the lead into the episode. A
Exactly.
month without French fries,
Yes.
you have been delivered.
Yes, come on now.
Come on now.
Come
Amen.
on.
Preach.
A godsend have some potatoes for me in heaven. I'm just
Yes, ma'am,
believing.
every day. Well, yeah. You know, maybe once in a while you can have some French fries.
But I will say that is the absolute thing I asked the integrative doctor. I'm like, look, lady, I don't care what's in these 23 pages. All I need to know is, can I still have coffee? If I cannot have coffee, just throw my whole body away.
I would just go to early grave because. Hey Chasers, it's Mercedes.
And Mama Talana here.
It's your favorite mother-daughter duo, and we are finally back with another episode. Today we are talking about wellness. Yes, we are going to be talking about holistic healthcare and how we're using technology to support this as one of our biggest goals. Now, me, your girl, Mercedes has been off the bandwagon, okay? But I started off 2024 strong. We are 8 days in. But Mama Talana had a very lovely, amazing last year where she just went and brought in the new year strong. She may say otherwise, but I'm gonna pass it off to her to tell us a little bit about her wellness journey so far.
Hey y'all, well, Mama Talana turned 50 last year. Really? That sounded a little bit lame. I need some more energy behind that. I turned 50.
I didn't want to bust our friends' eardrums, but I do have.
I can't hear that. You know what?
We got a new podcasting app that we're using. It has sound effects. All right, I'm sorry. Go
Oh,
ahead.
that was the app sound effects. Okay, well that was an apping. That was an apping. Next time I'll bring my own little horn, okay?
Okay, sorry.
But yes, I turned 50 last year, and so as you know, for most women, maybe not you guys, right? Because y'all's doing a lot better with embodying whoever I want to be. You're not waiting till that 40-year-old midlife crisis. Y'all are doing it now, which is wonderful. So, but for my generation, us Gen Xers, we had the midlife crisis at 40, and then I feel like at 50 you have the health life crisis, right? Although it's not really anything serious, right? So I turned 50 last year, and one of the things that was on my life list to do was to really visit a functional integrative doctor. And one of the things I feel like Mercedes can relate to this, even though she kind of fell off the wagon, the truck, the van, whatever.
It was a very, it left me in the dust. And it said, I'm gonna leave a couple pounds with you as I leave you.
I think if you've listened to our previous podcast, we try to find ways that are, maybe a little bit unconventional, a lot of ways that use technology because we both love technology. And so, as you know, with one of the previous podcasts, we did the floating, right? And that was all about the health too. And so with this episode, we're just going a little bit deeper around what other steps that I took to in order to really figure out what my future best self, health-wise, looks like, right? Because I'm only going to get older. I'm gonna look fabulous, right? But I'm gonna get older. And so I really want to make sure that I know what I'm looking forward to, and then really putting myself in the best position possible to be able to deal with my health in the future.
That was a lot. I didn't hear anything that you said. No.
Well,
podcast declined. Okay, so I love that you were talking about, like, we have this, like, moment where we're like, this, like, I can't keep doing this, which is how a lot of times we get to most of our goals of, like, actually doing the work or taking action. Yeah. But what was it that really made you do that in a different way? I know you were like, I turned 50, but what really made that difference, you know, for you to see this difference and change?
Business? Why are you trying to get, I'm just
That's joking. What I'm here for as your you co-host, ma'am. Business. I'm not here for the soft questions, okay? I'm here for the hard ball. Okay. Get right to it questions, okay? I'm not Shannon Sharping it, okay?
You sound like you've been listening to the Shay Shay Club. But anyway.
Dragged him, mommy. No, people dragged him. Say, what kind of questions are you asking, sir?
But don't. Anyway.
I don't claim that.
We won't go there.
Okay.
But so for me, rheumatoid arthritis runs in my family. I'm not really sure if it's hereditary, but I think it is. I don't know if it's...
Thank you for that.
I don't know if there's a consensus about that, but generally, more or less, I think that it is. And so that is an autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, given that it's in my family, I really wanted to make sure that, you know, I stopped ignoring that. Because for a while, you know, it's like I've known it was there. But like you said, that day comes when you wake up and you're like, okay, I'm sick of this. I need to do something about it. And if I don't do something about it now, it's just going to get worse. And so I think for me, turning 50, right, was also a wake up call to say, okay, Talana, now this is the time for you to really do something about it. Because I may not have an opportunity to fully correct it, but I can definitely slow it down, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, like, you know, it's not just the, I don't know, like the generational or the genetic pieces, like whether it's hereditary or not, but also I think kind of all these other compounding effects of like how poor wellness or health kind of like makes you feel. I think that's been one of the biggest things for me that has been the shift of like, I can see how different I feel when I'm eating better or exercising more. So I've been trying to, when you talk about that, like embody piece, like really trying mm-hmm. to stay connected with that, like how she feels like when she's can't say I'm totally there because I was struggling today and I had to go pick up some trail mix, okay, instead of the Ferrero Rochers. I did eat a Krabby okay. Patty, but I only ate one Krabby Patty and it was 33 calories. So thank you, my fitness pal, for enabling my 33 calories of sweets today.
You are welcome.
Yeah. What are you, I didn't say you. I said my fitness pal.
Too.
Oh, are you my fitness pal? You can. I wasn't talking about you because you did not see my Krabby Patty, even though you're the reason why I have that problem. So take that, hereditary problems.
You're welcome. They are great little snacks.
Because, you know, they're not all made the same.
Of course I do. I love SpongeBob, so why wouldn't I love Krabby Patties?
Not all Krabby Patties are made the same, the gummy ones. Yeah. Okay, so let's get into this, right? So you said, I acknowledge that I had this moment where I was like, I'm not going to do this anymore. Like, how did you get from that to saying, I'm going to go do this holistic wellness piece and all of these other things that you've implemented? Like, we're doing MyFitnessPal. You have some other technology. We're using Notion, Oura Ring, Samsung Health, all different sorts of things. So how did you get from here's what I want and here's how I'm going to actually like implement this into my life?
Yeah, so a few years ago, I had my gallbladder removed, right? I think that was 2016, maybe?
That was very traumatic
early
for
2016.
Me.
I'm sorry. Stay off the French fries. Stop eating the Krabby Patties. There's my advice.
God, listen, listen, ma'am. I'm trying to counteract all this, okay? How many years?
Yeah. So, you know, with losing your gallbladder, there are certain things that came with it. And with it came for me was like a lot of bloating. And that, and so from 2016 up until now, I just experienced bloating just from random different foods that I might eat. But I'm not really tracking it enough. I'm not giving myself the data to be able to make better decisions about my food habits. And so that was one reason. The second reason, like I said, the fact that rheumatoid is in our family. And then I think the third reason is was also recognizing that perhaps my body might have started to go into this perimenopause stage. I noticed, of course, having some hot flashes, having some difficulty sleeping, also still having a different type of bloating I felt like. And so it was just like, okay, enough is enough. Because if you can't be comfortable in your own body, there's really something really wrong with that. And then too, you know, there's a spiritual side of that too for me as well, because, you know, of course, the Bible says that our bodies are actually the temple of the Lord. And so it's like, okay, here I am in this position where I've been giving this beautiful gift of this body, and I've spent most of my adult life abusing it. You know, some people might say abuse is kind of strange, but it's actually abuse when you know, like, I shouldn't be eating as many French fries as I have been eating, but what can I say? I love French fries. So really that's where it started. It was like, you know what, I'm just it's all piling on top of each other, low energy, just all sorts of stuff. It was just like a downpour. So I'm like, you know what, something's got to give.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. Like, I think for me, more so as like I have a way that I want to like see myself like in clothes or booty naked in the mirror. Like, yeah, girl, okay. But like I think one of the challenges with that is kind of like this idea that you still kind of have this desire, this goal. And like you see yourself like in that cycle, 'cause I know that's what everyone talks about when it comes to fitness and health goals, of one, like having this desire to be there, but kind of going through the cycle of in and out, you know, fluctuating weight, but then also kind of like separating that idea from like physical, what looks to be physical health versus like actually feeling healthy. And I think that's the difference for me this time of like, there's no reason that I should be taking two Tums every night before I go to bed. Unless somebody snuck coconut milk into my food, okay? That's my
Let's
one
not talk about
valid
the coconut
excuse.
milk.
Talk about the coconut milk right now. Coconut milk has ruined many a night. Many nights. But that being said, I think that's been the thing for me this time, like just really seeing wanting to be more thoughtful about like the health side of it and the wellness side of it. And I think that's why like my fitness pal, like I used to just be like just tracking calories. Like how much can I eat today? How much can I eat today? But I have really liked like my, seeing the difference in my like sleep score and seeing like how what my micronutrients looks like and doing like my food diaries on these different websites. So let's talk a little bit about the technology. I know that you're using an Aura ring, and I think you're also using Samsung Health and MyFitnessPal. So,
So as a result of going to my physician, it wasn't my regular physician, y'all. Okay, so I just throw that out there. I know we don't want to run on about, I know that we don't want to run on in this episode about all of this. So we might do a second episode more about going to an integrative doctor outside of your regular primary care doctor, because it actually wasn't my primary care physician that helped me with all of this, right? I would just go to him and he would say, "Oh, look, you're getting close to being pre-diabetic." I work on that, right?
Not helpful, sir. Not helpful.
Yeah, not helpful at all, right? And so I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'm not diabetic yet. Let's go get those French fries.
Please.
All right. So, you know, going to the integrative doctor really opened my eyes. And I will also say, too, you know, it was probably in 2018 that I first heard, okay, go visit an integrative doctor. Mm-hmm. And I also heard that it was extremely expensive.
Yeah.
Like thousands of dollars. So
and really hard to find them, right?
Like, yeah, and exactly. Actually, the one that I was looking at was all the way down in Fort Lauderdale somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so I just put it on that life list, you know, like that's not something I need to do right now.
I'll see you when I'm pre-diabetic.
Yeah, you know?
No, that's not funny, but yeah.
And so, like, we put limitations on ourselves. I didn't do any research. I just took it for what it was. But mm-hmm. at the same time, too, you know, I feel like God puts you in a position to give you what you need when you need it. So I didn't necessarily need it back then, or maybe I wouldn't have been ready for it back then. So it is what it is, you know. But the integrative doctor was like, I want you to actually go and get a glucose monitor so you can start tracking your sugar. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I went from one doctor who never told me I was fat.
Like at all. Yeah. Like that was wild.
Yeah, like never, right? to this doctor. So I was thrilled about that. So I got that. I have the, of course, blood pressure monitor, which that's all fine and under control now. I got my Oura Ring last year. Mm-hmm. Before I went to the integrative doctor, and I love this little thing because the more data that you have about what your body is doing, the better you are able to make adjustments for yourself, mm-hmm. right? So when I wake up in the morning and I look at my Oura app, like I can tell what type of day I'm gonna have, right?
Is that good or bad?
It'll literally say, girl, you ain't had enough sleep or you didn't have enough. You need to take it easy today. And it's not lying. Mm-hmm. So I love just being able to have that data. And I also take that data and I put it in the Notion so that I can, you know, I want to see the big picture of it all. So I also load it in Notion. I just started using my Fitness Pal
with
Mercedes as a form of accountability as well. So I'm using that, the paid version, because I've done things like Noom before. But with Noom, the thing that I love the psychology of Noom, the thing that annoyed me with Noom is that its library is like ridiculous. So they need to do better with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, I'm also using my watch. That keeps telling me I'm not walking enough. I'm not taking enough steps, right?
Listen, Samsung Health is petty.
Even though I have been told that it is petty. But even though I have been told that that whole 10,000 step thing was a marketing ploy. Look,
was it really?
Say?
Wait! Come on.
That's what I found out. I was listening to some...
Wait, for the fitness trackers or something else?
No, it was for the fitness trackers, but it was like, I want to say it was like the 70s.
That oh, it like was when used they just
as a
like...
ploy. I don't know if it was in China. I would have to look for it. Yeah. And hopefully I can look for it and put it in the show notes because it was used as a marketing tool to get people to focus on their health and wellness. And I don't know if it's actually scientifically proved. That you need the 10,000 steps, like the 10,000 steps.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying that, like, you know how people, like, the whole, like, conspiracy theory with the, well, I don't know if it's a conspiracy, but, like, how that, like, healthy food chart is, like, based on, like, marketing people that they needed these certain, like, the dairy is not really that important.
I
but
wouldn't be surprised about that either.
I thought that's where you were going with, like, the people with the watches, the watch manufacturers, like, the Fitbits of the world and the Garmins of the world. They were like, if we can just get people to feel that they have to track their steps.
Yes, that
which
is what
for
I'm
sure.
saying.
Oh, okay, it is.
That is what I'm saying. Okay. But it was a company, I believe, somewhere in Asia in like the 70s.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as much as I like want to like be like, ooh, conspiracy theory about it, I will say that the steps helps me like better evaluate my activity levels, which is helpful. Mm-hmm. And then also, I mean, who knows, whatever, the American Heart Association could also be a load of crap. But I think thing is like 30 minutes of activity, you know, provides
and
all
I
these
think
healthy
that's why
outcomes.
Yeah, and I think that's why no one really bothers about it, right? Because it's legit. either way, it's still good for your health. But I think with my goals, one of the things that I'm really focused on, I'm not focused so much on making sure that I do a particular thing or a particular outcome. I'm really focused on what my desire is to embody a healthy person, what that identity looks like, right? So that may not necessarily mean I'm tied to this outcome of I have to take 10,000 steps a day. For me, one of my goals is to hit my activity marker on my Aura ring, because it gives you an activity score every day, and the more you hit it, the higher it goes up. And so I feel like if I'm hitting that, or for somebody else, if they're using Google, if you're hitting that, you know, the Google Fit with the, I think Apple phones have a little circles with all the colors.
Yeah.
If you're achieving that, you know that you're doing the work, and it eventually is all going to add up. I think that's what's most important, instead of stressing out, should I get on the scale? Should I, should I be measuring every little thing? I think it's important to find what you love, experiment with it a little bit, and then, move on to the next thing.
I know this is going to sound like very counterintuitive of like most of the ways that we talk about like embodying like the person that we want to be or the person that we are becoming. But I think actually for this one, at least when I was originally starting this and I talked about how like a lot of that had to do with like body perception, my own self perception of like my body. But I actually found that like demotivating, because I would look at it and I would say like, oh, like, a healthy person would not eat this Ferrero Rocher. A healthy person would not eat this Krabby Patty. And, I mean, I guess when I'm saying it out loud now, I'm like, that's a ridiculous thing for you to say that's how you embody a healthy person. But I actually was, like, I was using very punitive metrics or evaluations of, like, that progress. So I think that was why using MyFitnessPal has been super helpful. Like, I'm mostly on Samsung Health just because I want to track my activity and, to be honest, like, see how many calories, because I'm like so food driven. I just want to eat all day. Food is happiness. Okay. Food is happiness. Okay. But I think I found a way to be like, okay, well, I'm incentivizing myself. Like, okay, if I'm active today, if I play Supernatural today, if I go on a walk, like, oh, that means more calories. It's been really interesting where then I then value those calories more and I'm actually less likely to eat them. So I've somehow reverse psychologied myself into this, which I'm okay with. But I will say that being able to see what food is, this really high calorie, it's also helped me be more intentional about just not overeating, because it's just customary. Like, I looked today and I was like, I'm gonna eat 2 pieces of bacon because I want bacon, and that's not a healthy food, but I want bacon, and I'll have 2 eggs and some avocado. But normally that portion for me would have been like, I have 3 pieces of bacon, a slice of bread, some toast, some ham, some avocado, put some onion on, some tomato on there, and then I'll have 3 pieces of, oh, maybe some like fruit on the side. So I think
I think that's the healthy way to do it, you know, and I think that's what I like so much about Noom. It's like it didn't limit what you were eating. It didn't try to put you on any strict diet, but it's like what you said. You become more mindful of the things that you're eating when you're using the app. You know, it's like kids when they get their first job, right? And you're like, oh, I want to go to McDonald's. And you're like, well, in this day and age, your McDonald's is probably cost more than an hour of work, right? You know, girl, for high school kids or whatever. And so it's the same thing with the food. You know, you have choices that you can make because, you know, I love coffee, right? And I'm pretty sure that most of the sugar that I consumed in my life
creamer
was from creamer.
Yeah, preach. That's the one thing I will not give up is creamer.
People probably don't even pay attention to that, right? Because if I'm having like 3 cups of coffee a day, sometimes 4, just depending on how I feel, and I'm putting creamer in all of those, that's no different from me drinking soda. I mean, I don't drink soda generally, but it's the same premise. And so I don't even need the creamer now.
That's a beautiful story. More power to you.
You'll be there someday. You'll be there someday.
No, ma'am.
Oh, yeah, but too, I like black coffee. You all drink,
I drink creamer.
Coffee with your creamer.
No, I mean, drink creamer.
You drink coffee with your creamer, ma'am.
I drink creamer with a side of coffee. Anyway, that's the one thing on my fitness pal that that is like, man, but that's okay because my fitness pal will tell me when I've hit my allocated sugar for the day, and I have not. It's just my creamer. Maybe today with the Krabby Patty, I'm not sure. We'll see how it shakes out at the end of the day. But yeah. Anyway, I think this is like a really good segue into like the habit. So like I was saying before, like, it kind of has been this, like, really good, like, reverse psychology into making better decisions. But I now feel like how many ever days it creates to make takes to create a habit, I'm on day eight. And my habit has really been to be very intentional about entering my calories so I can make better decisions and, like, trying to integrate other things as I go through. So what are some of the things that you've done to create better habits around your health and wellness?
Well, first I'll say that a habit takes you as long to build it as it takes you. That whole 21 days is nonsense, okay?
Oh, my God. Okay, wait.
If you wake up on day 22 and you don't do it, and day 23, you're starting all over again.
Well, we could talk about how the neurodivergent people don't do well with habits. There's no such thing as a habit.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
So I'm just team anti-habits, but I'm trying to be okay for the neurotypicals out there. who can do habits?
Well, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't know if it's so, I like habits. I don't like routine. And so,
are you going to explain the difference between that? Because
I feel like a habit is something that you choose to do and it's part of your journey, right? It's part of your growth journey. And whereas I feel like a routine is something that people get locked in. Like you hear people say, oh my gosh, I hate my morning routine, or I just need, and to me, that's more stringent, right? To say I'm going to get up and do the same thing all the time, every day. And so I prefer to create habits and not necessarily just have this routine that people use, if that makes sense.
So give me like a tangible, because I feel like there's so much overlap between the two. Like, what's a tangible, like, wellness habit versus routine?
Okay, so I think a routine would be saying, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to the gym every morning at 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
before I get KJ up for school.
Well, those people are called psychopaths, but okay.
Yeah, and so that's a routine I feel like they put into their day. And so for me, I still want to have a healthy lifestyle and create a habit where I am getting that activity. But for me, saying I'm going to do it every day at 5 a.m. is not saying that I want to have this habit that I do each and every day, whatever that may look like, is more empowering for me. So for me, that might mean, okay, you know, I'm going to talk trash about you now, but it's okay. You're my child.
It's okay. I'll forgive you.
So let's say, probably, for instance, I get a message in WhatsApp today say, hey, let's do Supernatural.
Oh, my God. I was just trying to be accountable because you said you were starting on Monday.
Don't interrupt me.
I'm interrupting. Don't interrupt me. Not you pulling me out. I said I was off the bandwagon, but I was catching up.
Girl, you asked for the example. Now let me live. Let me give my example. So back up, right?
Rude.
So say, for instance, someone, I won't say who, sends you a message and says, hey, let's do Supernatural at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And you say, okay, I'm going to wait till 5 o'clock in the afternoon to do it. Even though you really realize, you know, it's Monday. Mondays are a low energy day for you. I think I want to do it at lunchtime. That way I get that little extra adrenaline. But you get that message and you're like, I want to be accountable. I want to be in it with her.
I just wanted you to start strong.
And then what happens? At 5 o'clock comes and the person says, I need a nap.
That's so rude.
And I end up doing it at 6. And so it's still a habit that I'm, a daily habit that I'm building, but I'm not so stringent to say, okay, I have to do it this time. Because I think a lot of times when people have these stringent routines, if they don't do it at that time, they feel like they can't do it at all.
Oh.
So if I don't go to the gym at 5, I just can't do it. I just messed up my whole day. And so that's why I kind of don't like to fall into that. And that's possibly because that was me.
Routines are stressful. The last thing I want to do is be like, you know what? Every single day at 5 o'clock, I'm going to do Supernatural, because then it won't be big. Something that I'm like enjoying or I'm not enjoying it anymore.
You know, hey, if you want to keep track of your habits, I have a Notion template for you. Okay.
And okay, girl. Okay, girl. Link in bio. Link in show notes.
Yeah, link in show notes.
Yeah, girl. For the low price that those are.
I didn't even remember the price. I think it's $25.
Get you your habit tracker for $25.
Well, it is more than a habit tracker.
No, okay? I know.
It is a life organizer. Hey y'all, Talana here, and I'm on a mission to challenge women of God to fall head over heels in love with pursuing God's purpose and plan for their life. Purpose Minded Woman is a faith brand with a blend of inspiration, practical advice, spiritual guidance, coaching tools, and resources tailored to the unique challenges and opportunities faced by Christian female professionals and entrepreneurs. Join me and other ambitious women of faith by subscribing to Purposefully Nourished, a weekly newsletter to pique your curiosity, build your faith, and pull you into taking inspired action towards your divine destiny. Join me at purposemindedwoman.com. It's just that, of course, habits are a big part of that.
Amen.
But I was going to say, I think the most important thing with anything is just to really make sure that you're doing the things that you enjoy. You're not doing the things that other people say you should do, because that's a big part of the success, not just in your health goals, but in all of your goals, that it's something that you actually want to do and you know why you're doing it.
I was going to say that that's been one of the biggest things for, like, why Supernatural has been such a great thing for us. Because we didn't really say what Supernatural was. We've just been name-dropping Supernatural. So, KJ, my brother, your son, got an Oculus, yes, and then eventually just converted all of us, right? That's how that worked. He got it first, right?
That is how him? That worked.
Oh, okay. Because I was was it his that I tried? And so then I was like, I had been wanting one for a while. So, because we know I like the technology. I want to play games. I got to get cute, cool stuff. So then I finally got it, which is it two? It's a year and a half? Well, yeah, because we got it not last birthday, but the birthday before that. Anyway, so a year and a half of having one. And then Brandon got one, and then Brandon's whole family got one. KJ's. You stole KJ's and then lost out on a deal of your lifetime. Ended up getting the new one.
No. Yeah, he got a good deal.
He got a good deal.
But I had to make it sweet for him, so I had to put in that option to buy. So he made some money, and he got to keep his Oculus.
I mean, if that's what makes you feel better as you review that story from your own lens,
fine. Fair. I believe in being fair.
You could have just gave him the money. okay, sorry. So,
we were doing is better than yours.
I mean, it is. You know, I, but my camera is better than yours. we all got, you know, priorities. So yeah, I went there. Low blow. Yeah. But anyway, so we started playing Beat Saber, and then that was like kind of became an exciting way to kind of, stay in shape or get active, like in the house. And so we've been doing, so that whole thing turned into playing Supernatural, and they're both kind of these virtual reality games where we have batons or we're punching or we have sabers and you're kind of moving to hit targets. And Supernatural is more like fitness related. So there's like squats and lunges and boxing and meditation. I haven't done a yoga
one. Knee lifts today.
Oh,
and a lot of knee lifts today.
Knee strikes.
Yeah.
That thing. And so anyways, it's been a nice way to, and the best thing about it is it has lots of music, like all different types of music styles in there. So I'll be having some fun listening to Lil Wayne.
I literally did the Nutcracker today. Who thought music from the Nutcracker could...
That's interesting. But give me a Lil Wayne one. Give me a Lil Wayne or a Paramore one, and I don't need any breaks.
Do the Nutcracker, honey. Do the Nutcracker.
I don't think I'm
going to
enjoy that. I don't like Christmas as much as that.
No, it's... But you like that song. Everybody likes the Nutcracker song.
Right. That's the song.
You just imagine trying to... It's...
Okay, actually, I can see it. I can see it now. Thank you for doing the little... You can't see her, but she made a little dinosaur arm.
It was very... Because I'm telling you, it only had two songs in it, and it kicked my buttocks. Like, it has... Like, Lil Wayne has nothing on it, okay?
Not even worse than that Paramore one where you were like, I'm never doing the Paramore one ever again.
I don't know. And I just did the Queen one, too, which was pretty, intense, too.
Anyway, but we love us some Supernatural. Yeah. So I will
say,
though...
We do.
I've had my heart rate monitor from my Samsung watch on while doing a Stairmaster at the gym, and my heart rate has been higher playing Supernatural in the living room. So I feel like it's a good exercise, and I'm not about all of the gym grind and the self-consciousness that comes through it. I tried personal training for a little bit. It was not it. So to circle back, you know, find your joy. What's going to help you? What do you like doing? I found that I really like snacking. I would like to eat 7 meals of little tiny snacks, and I would also like to wave my hands in the living room like a crazy person to exercise. And it's working for me on day 8 of 2024.
Yes. Yes.
Gosh. Okay, so I think we've covered a lot. Is there anything that you feel like we haven't covered yet? If not, I have a closing question for you.
No, I think we covered everything. I mean, I think I would like to do, and especially if they want to hear more about the experience of going to an integrative doctor and what that looks like.
Well, I want to, because you didn't tell us all the things, so... Yeah, it doesn't matter what they want.
A lot. I mean, just think about when you go to your doctor, they give you a one-page summary or whatever. Mm-hmm. I left with like 15 or 20 pages, you know? So
that's rough.
Real eye-opener. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I have to muster the energy to go do that because blood work just terrorizes me. Yeah.
Yeah.
All healthcare terrorizes me, really. Like, my gynecologist is going to get a nasty gram. No, I like her. So she's not going to get a nasty gram. She's going to get a polite nasty gram because she was like, "You can't have your birth control, ma'am." And I said, "Ma'am, last time I was there, you told me that I'm not allowed to cry in your office and that I can have 2 years." Do it. I can't handle being in these people's offices telling me crazy stuff. Oh my gosh, did you see? I will circle back to my question, I promise. But did you see that stupid white doctor on TikTok? Hey there, it's Mercedes. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably have some pretty big dreams and aspirations. Are you looking to break into your dream job? What about pivot into a new career that aligns with your purpose? Or maybe you want to advance your career as an amazing Black woman. If any of this sounds like you, it's time for us to have a chat. In the show notes, you'll find a link to schedule a quick and free 15-minute career clarity chat with me. During our call, we'll dive deep into your career goals and I'll share some transformational career advice. If coaching with me could benefit you, we'll discuss that too. If you're feeling uncertain about your career, it can be tough, but it's possible to find clarity and direction. So why not take a step to your breakthrough and schedule your free career clarity chat with me today? The link is awaiting for you in the show notes, love. All right, let's get back to the episode. I'm guessing based on your face, no. So there's this man, he gets on TikTok and he proceeds to say, ask this stupid question. Like, sir, you're a doctor. You went through how many years of education to get on the internet, ask a stupid question like that? He said, "I want to know why whenever my Black patients come into the office, they're always on the phone with somebody else. A family member or whoever." And he really posted that on the internet. Right? TikTok was pissed. Well, Black TikTok, obviously.
No, I did not see that.
Yeah.
I'm Black and I'm never on the phone. I'm allergic to my phone.
Okay. Well, we're going to have this conversation, okay? Because the comment is that people, you can't trust your healthcare providers, especially when it comes to wellness, health, and being able to advocate for yourself in a healthcare setting. And so that's why they're on the phone.
I mean, I don't know if that's on the phone. You know, I've had my own issues with advocating for myself.
Oh, for sure.
Around, you know, having this cough that I had and, I mean, if that's it, but why don't you ask your patients?
But people said you just got on the internet.
Put a sign up and saying, you know, but we live in this age where people just think they can put whatever they want on the internet. So there you go.
People were like, don't cancel him. He's a doctor. Like, you really got on the internet to say some stupid stuff like this. And then expecting we were going to be like, oh, here's why we do this. You should already know this answer, sir. But anyway, yeah, it was just wild. And I was like, the amount of times that I've had Apple tell me something that somebody that went to to school for how many ever years to be a doctor could not tell me is the reason why I don't care what you say to me. Just give me my prescription, sir, so I can go home.
Yeah, I mean, it's rough out there. I mean, my doctor basically told me I had lupus. And I was like, what?
I'm sorry. This is the man that we don't... Well, whatever. This is the man.
Yeah, this is... Yeah, you know. But just because he's not used to looking at test results for autoimmune diseases, that was his response when he saw a little bit... I mean, I did more information searching on the internet.
That's absolutely wild. Yeah, it's crazy,
but no.
Yeah. Did I know you said and that's, did I know I that? Mean, did you tell me? I'm sorry.
No, I didn't tell anybody. I told Kevin, and I'm like, I'm not telling anybody else because this is ridiculous.
And we're already traumatized for other reasons, so it's fine.
Yeah. But and that just goes to show you why visiting an integrative doctor is so important, because she opened my eyes to so many things that I wouldn't have had a clue was going on in my body just by, because it's one of those things, right? Like, she's trying to prevent things. So she's proactive. My physician's reactive. So I, like, you got to be dying before they want to do something. And I'm not saying that's all his fault, right? That's kind of the type of medicine, the type of healthcare industry that we've created in America. I mean, there's so many constraints on physicians about how much time they spend with a patient and all sorts of things. So I know that it's not all of their fault, but it's like, if you have the ability to do this on your own, I would absolutely say do it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I just realized that there are two SpongeBob backpacks back there because I forgot about the other one.
Because I love SpongeBob.
You do love SpongeBob.
I'm a 50-year-old woman that loves SpongeBob, and I'm not ashamed.
And Krabby Patties. I was just like, I was like looking at them, and I was like, oh, that's another SpongeBob backpack. It's okay, because I enabled you for the second one.
Yes.
Oh, I was curious, like, do you, so you went, last question about your, like, integrated health lady. So, was she a woman of color, or do you, like, feel like she was culturally competent in, like, how she spoke and interacted with you?
No, she was a white lady. She was great. And actually, I didn't find out until after, like, my second appointment, like, my follow-up to go through my reports and stuff. I didn't find out until after that she was actually married to somebody Black.
Oh.
But, no, she was great. I mean, my first appointment with her, we sat down for like an hour. She's like, tell me everything that's going on. Like, when has a doctor ever said that to you, right? I'm like, I just want to sit here forever with you. So, no, it was very nice. She was very understanding of us, of course, because when you're doing that, like, you don't necessarily have the words to explain everything that's going on. So I'm like, I think this and I think this, but, you know, meanwhile, I don't really know anything. Whereas when I went to my other doctor, not the man, but before that, she was like, well, why do you think you're in perimenopause?
That's a great question. That's a great question.
Just, you know?
But
I had told her some of the symptoms that I thought. I'm like, if you just want to ask me, lady, have I been on Google? Just ask me that. You know?
The answer is yes, because my doctor sucks.
Yeah, so, know. What can I say?
I mean, I love that because it's one of the... I don't know. It was one of the things that I was, like, really committed to a couple years ago when, you know, I was going through all of my, like, anxiety and depression stuff. Well, it wasn't a couple years ago, but it happened before then, but it's, like, continued through each of the things of, I made sure my dentist was a woman of color. I made sure that, well, my gynecologist wasn't a woman of color, but she's fabulous, so she can stay forever. She's a lady, though. And then when I was trying to find a primary care doctor in my area, I made sure it was, like, in a facility that was actually owned by a Black man. And then, like, more recently when I was, you know, going through all of my mental health challenges, like, the physician was a Black woman. And so it's been really nice to kind of be in these settings where it's nice to feel kind of, like, safer in the conversation versus, like, feeling like you might go into a facility where somebody's going to ask you why you're on the phone and, like, why other Black patients are on the phone. So I love that.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree with that. Comfort is important. I mean, I don't know for me if I really care that the person is Black or white or whatever. It's important to me that I'm heard. You know, I'm happy with her. So I'm still keeping my primary care physician, and I'll see her probably every 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like well-rounded.
And then, of course, now I have a rheumatoid physician that I literally cannot get in to see until March. So there you go.
Oh, well, that was rough. That story was a little rough. Well, I'm glad they're still your physician after that.
Well, for now.
Yeah.
Because I did have a Black female physician, and we loved her, and then one day she was gone. Mm-hmm. So, and I honestly think she was gone because she spent too much time with her patients, and, you know, she ordered tests that I had never had before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really think that's why, you know, she couldn't fit in the mold of what the healthcare system needed. So I'm steady looking for her. I will find her one day.
We gonna find you, girl. I'm not gonna say her name. We gonna find her.
No, I have her MPI, so I can find her.
Yes,
whenever she goes somewhere else.
Miss billing claims reimbursement lady.
Yes.
So I'm gonna find you.
Now let's wrap up this podcast, girl, because somebody has to go to Walmart to pick up their groceries because I forgot to order from Kroger, and I actually have to go to a Walmart. Somebody pray for me.
That Jesus, is so sad. Me. I am so sorry for you. But
I'm not going in. I'm just going for pickup. But, you know, I didn't even like to be in the parking lot.
Well, I have a fiance that just said, send me your grocery order. He was all excited because he got some good job updates today. And he was like, what you want, baby? I got you. I said, get me all the fruit. Nice. Yeah, I'll tell you later.
Well, I gotta get that just from Publix.
Oh, the fruit. Oh, but I was getting smoothie stuff because I'm doing, you know, where's that?
Oh, book? Well, that's different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was some fruit, but I'm doing your little, girl, this book comes up every once in a while. 10-day green smoothie cleanse. I'm not doing a 10-day cleanse, but I do like their smoothies. So
no, but some of those smoothies and they're real good.
They're
but
good. See, yeah.
I have to pay attention to my sugar intake.
This whole time, I did not know this was a Black woman in the back. Okay, JJ Smith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll be linked in the show notes. We're a mess. Okay, so I know you got to go, and I also have a call because we're doing business and life and health and all these things. So my closing question to you was going to be, if you had to tell yourself something 20 years ago or, well, you're getting old, maybe 25 years ago, about anyway, we had to tell 25-year-old Talana something that would change her life about health and wellness. What would you tell her?
That you can be healthy outside of your trauma. I feel like every time whenever I look back at, you know, things that I've changed in my life in regards to my health, it was always attached to me trying to ignore something that I had gone through. So whether it was a breakup or whether it was just another outlet, you know, when I look back, other than being pregnant, those are the times when I had lost weight, right? So after a breakup, you know, pouring yourself into the gym. And I don't necessarily know if that was because I wanted to prove a point, because I've never really had like this strong body image, like my body has to look this way. But I think that's not just for the weight loss, but for just so much different stuff. Like, you don't have to go through trauma in order to really have and create the life that you want. Like, you can do that now. And so I think that's a big part of it for me, understanding that I can have what I want whenever I want it. And for me, that's just, you know, now. And really understanding that why behind it, because a lot of times that why is not really the why, you know, it's a fabricated why, is an illusion. And so that's why you don't stick to it, right? So the really why now is because, you know, I'm not trying to die or have my body in pain. And that's the truth of it. And sometimes you need to give yourself that wake up call, the reality of it, and stop sugarcoating it and saying, well, you know, I want to fit in a size 2, or I want, you know, I want this. Like, no, what is the why? The why is, if you don't correct something in your life, Talana, you will die earlier. You will die earlier, right?
I know.
But it's like, that's a talk you have to have with yourself.
I'm having flashbacks about Mr. What's His Name from 600 Pound Life. What's his name?
Oh my gosh.
You are going to die.
I don't know.
I mean, I get it. But that is the thing. It's true. It's true. He's not wrong. Yeah. He's just very terrifying. No. What's his name?
I mean, if you would have asked me, and this is the last thing I would say, if you would have told me that, like, I could go a month without French fries.
Girl, preach.
I would have called you a liar.
That's the testimony, you know, right, I mean? There. This is the lead into the episode. Exactly. A month without French fries? Yes. You have been delivered.
Yes, come on now.
Come on now. Come Amen. On. Preach.
But God's going to have some potatoes for me in heaven. I'm just
Yes, ma'am, every day. Well, yeah. You know, maybe once in a while you can have some French fries.
But I will say, last thing, that is the absolute thing I asked the integrative doctor. I'm like, look, lady, I don't care what's in these 23 pages. All I need to know is, can I still have coffee? If I cannot have coffee, just throw my whole body away.
I would just go to an early grave, because that is hilarious. I love it for you. Well, I love that feedback. I think that is a good nugget to leave off of. You can have your coffee and French fries, and you don't have to live by your trauma. I love that. So thank you all for joining us for this very special Chasing Wellness podcast episode. We are definitely going to do a follow-up about holistic wellness, whether y'all ask for it or not. So there we go. So until next time, we wish you so much success with you chasing your biggest goals, and we'll see you for our next episode. Bye-bye. They can't see you do that. They only get the audio.
I can see me.
Okay, great. I'm glad that they can. All right. Bye, y'all.
They may want to.
No, they don't. Absolutely not. Not in the closet.